Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, we are a people of now and not yet. We are a people who now have been baptized into the faith, baptized into Christ, and yet not yet have we seen the fullness of the manifestation, the completion of God's plan for us. And we see it throughout all of the scriptures. And we see it in our readings this morning. We actually see it in all three of our readings this morning. First of all, we see it with Moses and the burning bush. Secondly, we see it with Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. And third, we see it with Jesus and his discussion with the Sadducees about the resurrection of the body. First of all, we see it with Moses and the burning bush. The people of Israel have been in bondage for 400 years. The promises that they once heard through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have been so far in the past. And they've been in slavery to another people, in this slavery in a foreign land to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. Called to make bricks without straw. They are simply in slavery. And yet, they are also called the people of God. But not yet have they been to the promised land. Not yet did they live as the nation, the people, that God promised them that they would be. Yet in our passage, God speaks to Moses through the burning bush. He comes to him and he speaks that promise. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I have surely seen the affliction of my people, and I have come to deliver them. To deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians, to bring them out into the land, that good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God, the great I am, everlasting to everlasting, come down to bring his people out of the bondage, out of the slavery to the Egyptians, and use Moses to lead them in to the promised land. And in fact, God did do that as he brought them out, brought them through the Red Sea and into the land of Canaan. You know, this story is your story as well. God has delivered you from a certain kind of slavery, but this slavery was the slavery of sin. It was a slavery that held you captive under the judgment of the law that looks upon sinners and declares them deserving of death. And it's a real slavery. But God, in his grace, has sent his Son, one born under the law, in order to redeem those who are under the law. And he took the place of condemnation on the cross for sinners under the law, so that you might be called righteous in God's sight. He's done it for you, forgiven, redeemed, loved by God, undeserved love and grace outpoured upon you. You are no longer sons, slaves, but sons and daughters of the Most High. And that is your reality now. Now in this life, as baptized children of God. But this reality has also set you in tension, because sin still clings closely to us, even though we are also fully redeemed, even though we are also forgiven. We await the finishing of God's plan, when we will no longer have to struggle against sin. But we have hope right now in God that we are forgiven. You know, so oftentimes movies about Christianity and other things often get things wrong. But in the 2003 Luther movie, there's this great quote that isn't actually what Luther said, but it gets at the heart of what this is about. He says this: when we are faced with that tension, with that reality of our sin in our face, this is what he says. "So when the devil throws your sins in your face and declares to you you deserve death and hell, tell him this: I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know the one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God. And where he is, there I shall be also." Brothers and sisters in Christ, that is your reality now, as you live in the future, as you live in the tension, and as you hope in the future of God's promises fulfilled. Number two, we see it with Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. In this letter, the context is this: the people in the Thessalonian church were in a state of worry. There were false preachers who were going around and declaring that Jesus had already come back. And so the people were worried. They worried that they missed his return, or he came back and he didn't get them. But Paul has words of encouragement for them. He calls them back to the word that he's spoken, the word that has been delivered to them. And he says, "Because God chose you as the first fruits to be saved through the sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, so this he called you through our gospel, so that you may obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by a spoken word or by our letter." In other words, God's word has already been declared to this church in Thessalonica. It's already been declared how the end would happen. It's not a secret. And so he says, hold fast to the truth that you've been given. You know, for the Thessalonians, this concern was that the end times had already happened. You know, our situation is not all that different in that some people gather together money and resources and they tell others that the world is going to come to an end on such and such a day. And time again throughout history, it's been wrong. And they've shown themselves to be false prophets, as they always seem to overlook the words of Jesus: no one knows the time or the hour. You know, all these predictions do, all that this stuff does is creates fear in the hearts and the minds of Christians. And we're reminded of this, these themes that we see come up time and time again in things such as the Left Behind series that was quite a few years ago now, but those kinds of worries creep in. And so Paul's words are for us today as well. You know, you will know it when you see it. It won't be a secret. You know the signs of the lawless one, the lawless ones who do not love the truth, and that on that day they will perish. But God's word has been revealed to you now, so that the final day is not something that you dread, but something that you long for. Because it's the great and final day of your salvation, when the Son shall return to gather all those who have been given the truth and love the truth. And you, being baptized into Christ, the true God will receive life because he's revealed the truth to you. And so here is the reality. You now have been given the word, but not yet has the truth been fully manifested to all the world. But there will be a day when that truth that you have now, that truth that you love today, will be shown to the whole world. And number three, we are a people of now and not yet as we await the resurrection. In the gospel reading this morning, Jesus is speaking to the Sadducees. The main difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees is that the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the people on the great day of the Lord. And so our passage this morning is about how they attempted to trap Jesus in his words as they conjure up this story of seven brothers and a wife, all sharing the same wife, and trying to trap Jesus into his words or confuse him. Whose wife will she be? Now, of course, Jesus answers that, well, there is no giving and taking of marriage in the age to come. But even more importantly, Jesus directs them back to the fact that even Moses recognized the resurrection of the dead. God is the God of the living. God is the God of the resurrection. He is the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is the great I Am. And he promises to raise the dead. You know, we also live in a time of now and not yet. Our bodies receive illnesses. Our bodies fail. And yet we still face death. Our brothers and sisters in Christ still die. And so do we. But here is the promise. The God of the living is our God now. The God of the living is your God now. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the great I Am. And we have life in him. Just as Abraham believed that God could raise Isaac, his son, from the dead, just as Moses believing in the living God, so that God, the one true God, that God is your God through Jesus. And when the end comes, he will raise you bodily from the dead. And Jesus is the first fruits of this new creation. And so we live in the now and not yet. We live in the now and not yet. And sometimes we feel this tension. We wait for the day when sin will no longer plague our thoughts and our actions, but now we know that we are forgiven in Jesus through his cross and resurrection. Secondly, we wait for the day when we will no longer be confronted with false predictions and lies concerning the final day. But right now we know the truth of God's word that has been revealed to us. And lastly, we wait for the day when death will no longer rear its ugly head in our lives. But right now we have the promise of the resurrection in the first fruits from the grave, who is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who defeated death. So as we enter into this last bit of the church year, as we focus on the coming again of Christ to complete his plan of salvation for us and for the world, we fix our eyes on God's word, God's promises to us, because ultimately he is the one who is faithful. He is the one who will do it. He is the one whose promise cuts right through the tensions of life and holds us and guards us and keeps us in him. He is the God who is true to his word, and he will surely do it. Amen.